Well, between the two of us, we make one complete person, maybe. You're not ever going to want to let us leave again. We came back sick and weary and bedfast and bedridden, but we're home and God is good. In my, and I want to say what a privilege it is to be home and to be here with you, especially at this time of year. And I recognize that probably everybody celebrates Christmas a little differently, but at the end of the season, at some point, what we all wind up doing is taking stock of 2018. Because we know we're going to end this year and start all over again. And it can be kind of devastating if what you expected this year didn't happen, or if you've been through devastation, if you've been through a long trial, been through a difficult place. And I don't want to imply that what I'm going to say here today will cover all of that, but I think it addresses a reality that the people of God do go through hard times. Okay? We do. We are subject to everything that happens in the world, and as I was reading over this passage, I couldn't get away from it, so I just said, Lord, you give me the words to say. What do you want us to hear? And by the way, thank you for the decorating team who put all this beautiful, beautiful decor together. Awesome job. Thank you, Brother Doug, and the Vickies and everybody else that I am behind and don't know who did what, but thank you so much. And welcome to all of our guests and visitors. Because of this time of year, people have a tendency to feel loss, or maybe that family reunion you're getting ready to go to, you know, the kids are fighting, it's not quite what you hoped, you've got estranged family, people here, people there, and it's stressful. This is stressful. But this topic, Let's Build, I think will be relevant to us. It is taken from Haggai, which is a tiny little book in the Bible, two chapters in length. And I want to just simply read to you, and I want you to listen to this story, okay? In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. So this man was a leader. To Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. So there you have a leader and the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. See, they'd been in Babylon for 70 years, and the Persian king said, God spoke to me and said, go rebuild Jerusalem. Well, if you've never been in a fire or a tornado or seen your house torn down around your ears, the idea of walking back to a place of devastation and trying to rebuild your life is just overwhelming. How many of you have seen pictures of the storms in New Orleans and Houston and seen people stand there just in shock? Well, I don't even know where to start. The walls are covered with mold. There's no way we have the strength or the money to rebuild this. So they just walk away and leave it. Well, what he was saying is, I've told you I want you to go address the devastation in your house, in my house. You've been gone 70 years. Your houses are torn down. There are blocks and stones missing and roots coming up. And he said, you've said this is not the time to concentrate on the Lord's house. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in sealed houses and let this house lie waste? He was saying, I want you to look at my house. Look at the condition my house is in. So this is an argument over what do I take care of first? My own house is ripped to shreds, and you're telling me I need to go build the temple of the Lord? So it kind of makes you wonder. So the next thing he said, now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. How are you doing stuff? He said, I want you to think about Since you're going to be in 2018 and you're going to look over the year, and most of us take stock, consider your ways. You've sown much, you work really hard, you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, you just keep getting clothes, but you don't feel warm from them. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Have you ever worked and worked and worked for a bonus and then wreck your car? And then there goes all that money you saved up. It's just like what happened to our church here. We've been saving money because we know we have to repair the parking lot. And guess what we spent all that money on? Anybody remember? Thank you. You do remember. Air conditioning. That was here from 40 years ago. And who knew that the air conditioning was devastated? Well, did we want to spend money on that? No. No more than we wanted to spend thousands and thousands of dollars to take water from the bottom of the basement to the street. Seems an awful waste of money because you cannot see it. Amen? The Lord said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, I want you to think about how much effort and energy you've been putting into your life. Then he said, go up into the mountain. He said, I want you to take a climb. I want you to bring wood with you, and I want you to build that house. And I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified. Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. If my house had been devastated by flood, the first thing I would do would be take care of my house, and I'd just have to leave the house of worship alone. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one?
Right.
Doesn't it make sense? Well, I'd have been right there with him. He said, you climb. I want you to climb up, bring wood, build the house. I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified. Then he made an explanation. He said, I want to talk to you about your expectations. You looked for much, and it didn't happen. It came to little. You were looking for a lot. Oh, my. At the end of every year, my expectations of what I thought would happen. How many prayers have you prayed and you keep holding on? You're going to end another year and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. How's that make you feel?
Amen.
He said, you looked for much, you look, and when you... I did blow up on it. The Lord said, I just went, God, why would you do that? We're not the heathen. Why would you blow on the little that I have and make it so hard for me to hold on to what I worked so hard for? And he's not talking to strangers. He's talking to his people. He said, I know what you're everything you know to do, and you brought just a little bit back from a whole labor. And I went, and he didn't blame the devil. He said, I did it. Oh boy, the very next thing is why. And the Lord read our minds. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because my house over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Whoa! Who knew that the heaven and the earth, the Lord makes them respond to the condition of his house? Well, now this house is fine. He cannot be talking about this one, not for us. He must be talking about another house. So, okay, Lord, what are you talking about then? He said, I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, and on the corn, and on the new wine, and on the oil, and on that which the ground brings forth, and on men, and on cattle, and all the labor of the hands. He said, I just said, dry it up. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting more and more offended. When the Lord says, I see how hard you're working, I'm not going to let it produce. I see that you're taking 2 and 3 jobs, not going to help you. I'm like, Lord, this is not a good word for us. What are you talking about? We love you. We're your people called by your name, and we're here. Why are you saying these things to us? I want to know why. Everybody say, so do I. Well, this is what he says. Consider your labor. What have you been working on? Can you say with me, I work hard? I know everybody can say that. Say it with me. I know you do. Consider the results. So if you're working really hard, consider the results, and this is what the result would be. I don't have much to show for it. Would you say that with me? I don't have much to show for it. Now, every now and then, I look at the cost of living. It's expensive to live in Ohio. Did you know that? It really is. You precious people don't know how expensive it is. I came from Arkansas. And I'm going to tell you, you can make do on a lot less there than you can here. And there are people that work very hard. But you know what it's like? The higher your wages are, there must be some kind of unspoken agreement in the world. If you make more money, guess what? It costs more to live, doesn't it? It's almost like everybody's going to go home with the same, no matter how much you make or how little. It's going to be hard on everybody. This is the way of the world. Amen? Then he said, consider your ways. What condition is the Lord's house in? Now, he's not talking about this house. This house is beautiful. We've decorated it. I happen to know that it's vacuumed and the toilets are cleaned. And this church is so good about making sure everything is spit polish. He wasn't talking about this house. He was talking about this house. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. He said, my house is wasted. My house is desolate. My house is worn out. Say, I am the house.
I am the house.
And especially at this time of year, I have to tell you, when I got back home, my island and my kitchen had a stack of mail on it. How'd y'all know that? And I missed every sale in the book. Every one of them. And at Christmas time, I remember just going, oh God, here we go. Got to go find a present for this one, and got to go find a present for that one. And how much energy it takes to have to flip through those books, to cut out the coupons, to stay up, to go online. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He said, I want you to examine what condition my house is in. Say with me, what condition am I in?
What?
Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? So that we don't get to say, well, I'm going to go take care of my job. I'm going to go take care of Christmas. And not think about the condition of the...
Amen.
Whoa. Well, now, I don't know if I'm offended or encouraged. He said, I want you to consider all of this. And then he said, I want you to go up and build up. She said, I don't want you to concentrate on where you're living. Like, I've got to take care of this, and I've got to take care of this. He said, I want you to take care of this first, because this is my house. They said, well, I can't afford to sit down, and we can't afford not to. I can't afford, I've got to work. I've got to. He said, I'm going to blow on it. I'm going to. He said, because this is my house, and I want you to take stock about the condition that my house is in. Say, my house.
My house.
So he said, this is what I want you to do. Go up to the mountain and bring some materials with you, and I want you to build that house. And he said, I'll take pleasure in it. You go build this house. I'll take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified. And I just felt like this was a prayer that would be an appropriate response. Lord, I've been low. And you know what? You should be. Some of us have been through some hard things. We are like the children that were in captivity. Say, what do you mean in captivity to what? I know how hard you work every day. Some of you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive, and then work all day and come home and just shreds of you left. I know that. I love you. I live your life with you. He said, I want you to look at what this is doing to you before you extend my house even further and devastate it and empty it. Now, we furnished this one. How beautiful. How's this one furnished? What's going on with this one? Is it decorated as pretty as the sanctuary is? Does it have all those wonderful internal things? He said, I want you to look. Lord, I've been low. I'm run down. I've worn myself out trying to make ends meet. There's a declaration. Lord, it's me. It's Christmas time in the city, and here we go. And it's shop here and do this, and we have to work extra hard because the kids are going to have this, and I got to have this, and this. And I'm just driven. Now I'm spending the resources of the house. And the Lord said, stop it. Oh, say, oh me. So what do we do? Lord, I'm coming up that mountain with the materials you've given me to build. Here are my materials. I have your word. Say, I have your word.
I have your name.
I have your spirit. I'm going to build myself up instead of tearing myself down. I've come to praise you. I've come to worship you. I've come to bless you, because this is what's going to happen. If you make yourself the savior of your family, you want your children to love those gifts. You want your family, you want everything to be perfect, and you spend the Lord's house, you are going to wear yourself out, wear yourself down, and disappoint your own self and devastate the house of the Lord. And he said, I don't want you tearing yourself down because of what you don't have and what you didn't do and what you can't give and what you haven't got. He said, you've got me. I love this house. I want to take pleasure in it. I want you to build yourself up. Well, now there's a Christmas message. He said, you're precious to me. You're my house. I don't look at you like you look at you, but I know what you've been through, and my house has been wasted. He said, my house has been through some things. And you know what? We live in a world that doesn't give you time to even catch your breath. You can go through all kinds of things, and the boss won't have any mercy. I expect you to be here. I'll never forget, I read while we were out of the country that there was a young woman, a college student, who'd been working at a restaurant, and one of her friends was killed. He was the designated driver for a carload of drunk college students, and he was killed by another another person who was drunk, and this girl asked off my friend, and her boss said, look, I don't care that you're a college student, and I don't care that you have a friend that was killed. I want you to know something. I have a restaurant to run, and if you leave for that funeral, don't come back to work. Now, there's your mercy. How you like that? The cost of living is, I'm giving you X number of dollars. I want X number of hours. I don't care. It's black and white. This is the way it is. If you can't be here, don't consider coming back to work. There are people in line to take your job. The Lord said, I don't want you to live a devastated life. I am the owner of this house. You're not your own. You don't get to just spend yourself any way you want to. Say, thank you, Jesus. Because it's going to take faith to believe that. He said, I want you to go up and build up. Now, the Bible says in Jude, the first chapter, verses 20 and 21, you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. I know times are hard, but I'm going to tell you what the word of the Lord said to Zerubbabel, this man that was going to be responsible for showing the people how to build the house. He said, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. God can take the little minimum wage that you make. He can take the little retirement that you live on. You keep the Lord's house right. You keep it full and furnished, and God will multiply the little that you have. Oh, let's lift our hands and thank him right now. You are not supposed to be driven by the expectation of this hour. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to spend time in prayer with me for one reason. You're going to need to be with me to be full of love. You're not going to get it from the world. He said, I want you to come and pray and talk to me. I don't want you to set a timer. I don't want to be a duty or an obligation. I want you to come spend time with me because I want you to know how much I love you. And it's going to take all of me to keep all of you. You're going to need to spend time with me because there's no mercy in the world. And he said, I want you to build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost so you can feel my love. I'm not asking you to spend another hour to wear you out. I don't want to be a designated duty. He said, I want you to put me first. I want you to spend time with me so I can tell you how much I love you, so I can take care of this house. You're going to go through trouble. You're going to have strife. You're going to have sicknesses and illnesses and circumstances. He said, but if you'll stay with me, I'll keep you full and furnished. I'll multiply everything you need. I'll take pleasure. Build yourself up. So how's that been working for you this year? I can tell you this, if I don't put the Lord first in the morning, it is not happening. I'm going to be honest. And there are moments it's so counterintuitive. That means it doesn't make sense to spend time with Jesus first to go do all that work. He said, I want you to put my house first, not what you think is first. I want you to serve me first. Come to me. God, you're so demanding. You're so mean. No. I know the condition you're in. I know you've got worries. Please give them to me. Your heart can't take it. I know that you've got stresses. Give it to me. You got to be with me. I got to take that off of you because stress can kill. Did you know that? It can destroy you, worry and anxiety. He said, you come spend time with me. While you're spending time with me, I'm going to adjust everything. My economy is you take care of what I ask you to, and I'll take care of all your stuff. I'll take care of your health care. I'll take care of your bills. I'll give you money when you didn't know anyone was coming. He said, you keep me the main thing. Don't Don't make your bills first. Don't make your job first. He said, don't do any of that. He said, you keep me first. You keep coming to me. I am the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. He said, I don't want you talking about what you don't have and what you haven't got and what you'll never have. He said, I'm God of heaven and earth. I want you to take care of my house. Go up to the mountain. Bring me a sacrifice and build a house. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands? Hallelujah. He said, I want you to build up yourself. I want you to speak life over yourself, your family, your church, your job, your city. I want you to build yourself up. And so I said, I don't know if our people even know how to do that. One thing to say, I come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Monday through Friday, man, I am the world's. They shred me like a paper shredder. This is why we've been teaching lessons on the tabernacle, to teach you how to live a separate life while you're in the world. You cannot be of it. It'll eat you up. It'll eat you alive. It'll shred your heart and your expectations, wear you out, wear you down, and leave nothing left. So I said, Lord, and the Lord quickened me and said, you remember the Daniel blessing? Daniel was by himself too and in captivity. See, he wasn't going to get to make the journey back home to build the house. He'd pray 3 times a day to keep himself connected, to keep this refreshed, living with heathens and pagans. And I don't know what all Daniel saw, but he got to fasting and praying and he was looking for God, and an angel came. And when the angel spoke to him, he just fell out on the ground. And he said, I'm going to help you, Daniel. But this is what he said. Then came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said this, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Listen to me. You can't keep going through family trials, sicknesses, illnesses, crises, and not say these loving words over yourself. Tell me who's going to say that over you and your family. Who is going to be concerned with what's going on within the inside of you? How much pressure can you bear? Who's the designated one that walks over and says, in the name of Jesus? A lot of times when you and I are going through something, we're by ourselves. Do you know what the Lord showed me? He said, Janice, put your hand on yourself. I'm going down the road, going through a horrible, fiery trial. And the Lord said, say that blessing. And instead of saying, oh, man, and I put it in parentheses, I put my name in there. Oh, Janice, I said, there's no one else but me to say it, so I'm going to say it to myself. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost that lives in me bless me. What are you doing? I'm going to build myself up. I'm on my way to work, and all hell's breaking loose. I'm under so much pressure, I feel like my bones could crack. But the Lord said, you are my house, and I live in this house. And I want you to build yourself up. Lay your hand on yourself and say, oh, Janice, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And I drove down that road with tears streaming down my cheeks and said those words, and something came into the car with me, and when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Say, well, all I do is I just get through it and I try not to think about it. Well, it's been another fight in my family. Well, it's another bill. I try just not to fall apart, but I feel like I'm about to explode. So I go eat a Snickers bar, watch television for 7 hours. What are you doing? I'm trying to escape. You know what? That's draining the house. It's not addressing what's going on in it. I'm going to tell you, I want you to put your hand on your heart, and instead of, oh man, I want you to say that prayer, and I want you to put your name in it, and I want you to say it out. out loud. And if you don't remember anything from this sermon this morning, I want you to remember this prayer, because the Lord said, I want you to build up the house. You are my house. Say it with me. Oh, Janice, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Now I want you to say it again and say your name again. Hallelujah. And if you feel like it, I want you to stand and I want you to proclaim it with your own name in there. Say it again. Oh, Janice, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yay, be strong. Now lift your hands. You're building up the house. You're building up his house. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah, Mohaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, New Testament. I want you to build up someone else. Sometimes the trial you're going through is exactly what someone else is going through. Get off yourself. It's not about you. The Lord will let you feel a gut punch. You'll get hit. And the Lord will say, now I want you to pray for so-and-so. Yeah, but Lord, this is my pain. Nope, I'm using your pain. And then if you'll let yourself, names will start coming to you of other people who are suffering. And the Lord said, I put you together to encourage each other. That's also my house. You are members of the same house. And the weakest of you, it needs to be strengthened by the strongest of you, because you all belong to the same house. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. When someone comes in low and they start venting to you, you can just see right underneath all that stress and mouthing and whatever, and say, we're going to pray together. The Lord is with us. We're going to throw that on Jesus. Why? We're building up the house. He said, I want you to build it up. And he said, I don't want you to forsake getting together. He said, I don't want you to try to do this at home. Some assembly required.
Yes. That's good.
Some assembly required. He said, you're going to have to get together with some people. He said, you're going to have to let them lift you up. You're the house. You're my house. No, well, I have to go shopping. Oh, no, you don't. If you're going to spend an hour, it'd be better for you to spend it with somebody who says, hey, let's pray about this. Hey, let's just go out for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Tell me how you're doing. What are you doing? I'm going to build someone up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as some people do. They cannot make time for the house. It's just an obligation or a duty. They've got time for everything else, and they don't realize it's not that you're here in the pew. It's that I get to see you and hug you and say I love you. Do you get that at work? I love you. How's it going? How are your kids? How's your family? How's your spiritual life? But when you come into the house of the Lord, you're going to find somebody who says, did you fail? There's blood for that. Are you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Hallelujah. Without price, without money, without charge, there's love in this house. He said, I want you to preach to each other. Well, that's not me. It better be you. This is what it means to be his house. He said, I want you to talk to each other. Cheer each other up. Encourage one another. He said, I want you to do that. I want you to encourage each other. How often? Every day. With, well, it's bad. Let's listen to the news together. Let's sit on the couch together and watch depressing shows. He said, that's not how it's going to do it. I said, Lord, do we know how to do that? He said, this is what I want you to tell my people, how to bless each other if you don't even know words. And you don't have to quote each other Bible scriptures. Sometimes sending a card or calling somebody, just telling them you love them, is like 1,000 scriptures. But here's one. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. But this ought to become a tradition among us that we say things like this to each other. The Lord bless you and keep you. Why is that important? Because it's reminding me, it's not your job or your retirement that's making you precious. It's the Lord. The Lord make his face shine on you. Well, I want my children to be accepted at school. Are you serious? Have you seen what it takes to be accepted now? Really? Would you subject someone you love to that kind of demandingness? He said, I want the Lord to make his face. I pray that the Lord will be pleased with you. He said, if you'll build it, I'll take pleasure in it. He said, if you'll make me a priority and make taking care of you my way. I am not talking about going and spending thousands of dollars at the gym to sculpt a new you or spending thousands of dollars to change your outward appearance. He said, I want you to spend time with me and each other so that the inside of you is just as rich and beautiful and glorious. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I want you to read it with me together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. What are you doing? I'm building a house. I'm using the words he gave me. I'm going to speak it over my kids and my grandkids. I'm going to speak it over my spouse. I'm going to speak it when we get up and when we go to bed. What are you doing? I'm building the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor, Joshua, the high priest, is getting personal. He's naming names in the congregation of people that said, I heard it. I heard what he said. And all the remnant of the people. You know, I can get up here and scream and shout and dance, and there has to be a covenant between us. We can tell you all kinds of things, but unless there's agreement in this congregation that you'll do what you hear, we're just performing for you. When it gets real, it's when the people that hear it say, this is how I'm going out of 2018. You know very well that we're going to start 2019 hitting the ground. We're going to go through 40 days of fire again, Brother Tim. I am persuaded that God gave us that gift, knowing what you were going to go through and what Brother Tracy was going to go through and knowing what Brother Raymond was going to go through. And he said, I want the church to furnish my house. They're going to need everything I'm going to give them. But it's one thing to begin with a bang, and it's another thing to end with a bang. The Lord said, I'm going to give you this word right now, December the 9th, before you go spend yourself on more boxed presents, more hours of spending your precious life. Not telling you can't buy for your grandkids. We've already been down that road. My children, I'm going to tell you what my children are going to get. A card with a little something green in it, and they go get what they want. I ain't doing it. See this face? I ain't doing it. You know what they're going to get? Mama's going to make a home-cooked meal. We're going to sit down and sing carols, and we're going to be together. I'm going to tell them how much I love them. We're going to spend time together. That's what they're getting for Christmas. What you think about that? You know why? I'm part of a house. I might write them each something precious. something unique for every one of them. 1 year I commanded my family, I want you to write each other what you mean to one another. My little nephew and nieces wrote me letters, "Dear Aunt Janie, you mean so much to me." I kept them. We never did it again. It was appropriate. Say, what are you doing building up the temple? Who's going to do that at work? Who's going to do that except those of us in this house? I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that we together go to the mountain and build this house. The remnant of the people. What's that next word?
Obey.
What?
Obey.
Would you all say that together?
Obey.
The voice of the Lord their God, the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And then the Lord said, good, because now I'm going to give you the strength to do what I told you to. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They got in unity, not just seven over here and three over there and two over there. They all got together and said, we're doing this. As for me and my house, we're doing it. They worked together. They helped each other, building up the house of the Lord. And then I just want to finish in Haggai. I had some new verses, but I just want you to look at Haggai, because I feel like I want to say this for all of us that have done this before. So, Sister Tracy, if you'll put up Haggai, the second chapter. This is my Christmas message to you. He said this, Haggai, the second chapter and the second verse. Speak to Zerubbabel and to Joshua and to the residue of the people. Verse 3, who's left among you that has heard this word before? Go pray and fast and take care of yourself and stop pushing yourself. Who of you has heard that? He said, they all got together, they did the work, and he said, how many of you have done this before? I want to know how many of you have prayed and fasted and gotten God back in the center of your life before. This is not the first time you've heard this, right? Let me see your hands. He said, I want you to look. Who is left that saw this house in her first glory? Some of us have been living for the Lord a long time, and where we are right now is not where we were as new converts. We're a little bit worn down. He said, you look at yourself the way you are now, and you look at yourself the way you were then, and you go, wow, this is not much. This is the Lord's house. Well, hey, not impressed. Been there, done that. I'm not my best. He said, is it not in your eyes as comparison of it as nothing? He said, I know very well you look down at yourself and go, it ain't much. Sister Showstrand, we hear you. We'll follow. It's not much. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. I'm going to do what you said, but, you know, my expectations, and if I'm this, then hey, and look at the guy over there. We're just not a whole lot. We're a bunch of young children and retirees. Wow. That's dazzling. Verse 4. Yet now, Zerubbabel, I know what you're working with, Pastor. that I know very well what I've asked you to do. He said, I want you to be strong. And Joshua, I want you to be strong. And all you people, I want you to be strong and I want you to work. He says it again. Why? Because I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. That's why I want you to do it. I don't want you to dream up something you're not. I already know what you are and I know what you're not, but I'm with you. I want you to be strong and work. Verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He said, I remember the night you got the Holy Ghost. I haven't changed and I didn't lie. You're older. Yes, you've been through some things. Yes, you've done this before. Yes, he said, but I remember I brought you out of Egypt. And he said, my spirit remains among you. And he says again, fear ye not. I command you not to be afraid. And then he said, yet once, verse 6, I'm going to shake the heavens. This is already happening, folks. He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen while you're working on the house. I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the earth, the sea. I'm going to shake the dry land. And then when I get done shaking the global warming and I shake the seas and I shake the heavens, I'm going to shake the nations like a dog with a bone. He said, I'm going to shake this earth all over. And he said, and the desire of all nations shall come, which is, he said, I'm going to come in flesh, which here we are at Christmas and we know he did. And he said, I'm coming again. And he said, and I will fill this house with glory. He wants to fill us with glory. He knew he was arguing with a bunch of hard cases. And then he said this, verse 8, just so you know, your resources. The silver is mine. The gold is. And then verse 9. Sister Bernice, the glory of this ladder house. You're 80. Sister Blanche, we're in a ladder house, folks. Brother John, he said, the glory of that house right there, that latter one, shall be greater.
Yes.
You think you've lost something from when you were a new convert? Shut up. Shut up now. I'm looking at you with your white hair and your bent knees. And some of you just getting started, you wish you were older, you wish you had more. He said, you're in the latter house. This is the latter house. This is you in the end time. You in the end time. You in the end time. He said, and the glory of this house. Take your hand and say, this house. This house. Say, the one I'm in now. Haleama, would you stand? He said, the glory of this house is going to be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And say, in this place. And point to yourself and say, in this place, say, in this place will I give peace. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace has come to the house. Lift your hands and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just come to the front right now and let us worship and magnify him. Praise team, come on. Musicians, come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're in a house. Let's lift our hands together.